Good afternoon, 4:30 and 90 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
If you look at the worldwide price of steel and you look at the United States price of steel, there's a gap there. That gap could cause dumping from other countries to take place.
Ashland Alliance President Tim Gibbs says the U.S. can't afford to keep addressing trade disputes in a piecemeal fashion. But he says rising prices might give AK Steel more incentive to restart its local blast furnace. Some Moorhead State employees will get a letter this week changing them from salaried to hourly workers. And an overdose awareness event is planned tomorrow in Portsmouth. In sports, MSU prepares for its first football game Saturday at James Madison. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 60s. The complete forecast after this news. The hunt continues for an Owingsville man wanted for the murder of his wife. Kentucky State Police Master Trooper Joe Veneman says 42-year-old Christopher White has remained at large since last week's death of 44-year-old Judith White.
We're still in the process of trying to locate Mr. White, and we really don't have any solid leads that we've been able to develop or anything to go on yet. And our detectives are still, you know, hard at work trying to obtain a location on him the best means possible.
Veneman says the KSP is not ready at this time to discuss the circumstances surrounding Judith White's death. Christopher White was last seen driving a white 2015 Jeep Patriot, Kentucky license plate 165VPE. Authorities consider the man to be armed and dangerous. A Maysville man has been indicted on charges of causing serious physical injury to a 7-year-old child. The Ledger Independent reports that the Mason County Grand Jury indicted 38-year-old Fred Taylor for first-degree criminal abuse in connection with an incident on March 3rd. The grand jury also indicted a woman on the same charge. Bianca Fath is accused of permitting harm to a youngster left in her care. A decision by the Democrat who co-chairs an interim joint committee of the Kentucky Legislature to change the location of a meeting today from the Jim Beam Distillery in Claremont to the state capitol in Frankfort is drawing fire from Republicans. State Representative Dennis Keene heads the House panel on licensing and occupations. The Campbell County lawmaker says after conferring with House Speaker Greg Stumbo, Keene chose to switch the meeting to Frankfort. The decision followed Stumbo's appeal to all House members to convene in the Capitol for a special meeting about Kentucky's public pension crisis.
I called the speaker and said, you know, what do you want me to do? And he told me, he said, you know, you're the chairman, you do what you think's right. And that's why I decided to hold the meeting here rather than the expense of going to Claremont.
Republican State Senator Damon Thayer is a member of the Joint Committee and says the decision to change venues is disappointing. He says it's also unfair to Jim Beam.
They've been planning this event for months. They have a wonderful facility down there. I mean, I'll be honest with you, this whole thing reeks of politics, Mr. Chairman, and I'm very disappointed in your decision.
Chairman Keene says the committee will try to work out another time to visit the Jim Beam Distillery in Bullitt County. Democratic State Representative Russ Meyer says Republican Governor Matt Bevin left him a threatening voicemail after Meyer declined to switch political parties ahead of the legislative session. Meyer released the recording today.
Good morning, Russ. Matt Bevin. I have had some conversations since our last conversation. A little disappointed by some of what I'm hearing. Would love to speak to you. I want to make sure you understand where things are in my mind and the decisions that I'm going to make in the days ahead, weeks ahead, months ahead. I want you to be very aware of what the impact of those decisions will be as it relates to you, your seat, your district, et cetera, just so that we have all the cards on the table.
Meyer says he interprets the voicemail as a threat to pull transportation projects in his legislative district, which includes parts of Fayette and Jessamine counties. Bevin describes the message as polite and personal and says his comments are being misconstrued. Nearly 200 Morehead State University employees will be receiving letters later this week informing them that their classification is being changed from exempt to non-exempt. Chief Financial Officer Beth Patrick says the notifications will be sent September 1st by the Office of Human Resources.
We have about 171 people that will now move into a non-exempt status, which means if they work over 40 hours, they will receive overtime wages. So we're in the process of making the change in that pay status for those 171 employees.
Patrick says the switch is being made so that MSU will be in compliance with the federal wage law on overtime pay. She says the law makes it necessary to change the compensation period for those employees because non-exempt workers cannot be paid until after they've worked. That means those employees will miss a paycheck on October 15th. However, Patrick says they'll have the option of taking a $1,000 loan from the university, which they can pay back through payroll deductions between January 1st and June 30th. Students slated to move into Morehead State University's new residence hall will have to wait a bit longer. While they'd initially hoped to get into their rooms at the 550-bed Andrews Hall in late September, the school recently sent out letters to those students informing them that the $28 million facility now likely will not be ready for occupancy until October the 17th. MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities is Rick Linio. He says there's a reason for the delay.
You had weather that was a major factor into the process. Again, starting a project in July, and then with the rains and snow and everything else, that contributed to moving it from September to the time period we have now.
Until they can move into their new digs at Andrews Hall, the students who will live there will continue to be temporarily housed at Cartmel. An overdose awareness event is scheduled tomorrow in Portsmouth. It takes place from 10 to 2 at the Fast Stop Market on 8th Street and is sponsored by the city's health department. Registered nurse Lisa Roberts helped organize the activities, which include education, prevention, and acknowledgement of the grief families who've lost a loved one have experienced. She says there's a lot of concern right now about especially dangerous ingredients manufacturers are adding to heroin supplies.
They're actually adding things to it that are relatively cheap, and many of those are drugs that are manufactured in China, illegally manufactured things that are very potent, like fentanyl, and even another drug called carfentanil, which is about 10,000 times stronger than morphine. So you're seeing these sudden spikes in overdoses related to just extremely potent product.
Robert says representatives of drug treatment programs and other agencies will be on hand for tomorrow's event. Well, authorities around the region remain concerned about clamping down on a heroin pipeline that runs into eastern Kentucky from Detroit. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins thinks his county is ahead of the game in that effort. Blevins says drug traffickers have come to realize that Rowan County has several law enforcement agencies, and all of them are very focused on putting them out of business.
I think at least in this county, people are afraid that those drug dealers realize that we put the heat on them here. We've got a good sheriff's department, good police department, the Morehead. Of course, we've got the campus police. We've got state police located here. I think the criminals soon find out that this is no place to come and deal drugs.
The county sheriff's department's anti-drug effort, known as Operation Rowan Roundup, has resulted in over 200 arrests since its inception in 2010. An agency dedicated to helping those with mental health issues in eastern Kentucky has earned an international certification. Here is MSPR's Chaz Jenkins.
According to the Morehead News, for the first time ever, the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities International has awarded Pathways Incorporated an accreditation for a 3-year period in numerous programs. Pathways Chief Executive Officer Dr. Kim McClanahan calls it a hard-earned accomplishment for her organization. This accreditation represents the highest level that can be awarded to an agency because it shows the substantial conformance the organization has to the CARF standards. Pathways has offices in Moorhead and Ashland. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Recent increases in the spot market price of steel in the U.S. offer some hope that AK Steel might restart its Ashland blast furnace. That's according to the president and chief executive officer of the Ashland Alliance. However, Tim Gibbs says it's unclear if those markups will prevail long enough for AK to determine if it needs additional production capacity.
When they laid off these employees on December 18th, the price spot market for steel was $350 a ton. After the preliminary tariffs have been put in place, while we're waiting on the final tariffs, the price in the United States went up to between $680 and about $800 a ton. Significant. So there has been relief through the actions of the federal government of the tariffs on the unfair steel that's being dumped and subsidized by the Chinese and others.
Unfortunately, says Gibbs, it has taken 18 months to press the unfair trade practices case against China and five other countries. He says that underscores the need for federal trade policy to be more comprehensive and resolve conflicts in a more timely way. Gibbs says trade cases should not be addressed piecemeal. More than 600 employees have been laid off from AK Steel's Ashland Works since last December. Kentucky lawmakers are being asked to allow local liquor stores to make home deliveries. The request comes from a Massachusetts-based technology company that makes an app which enables consumers to order alcohol on the Internet and have it delivered to their door. Nick Rellis is the chief executive officer of a firm called Drizzly.
Consumers go to our website, they download our application, they give us their address, and we connect them to local liquor stores, package stores as we call them in Boston, and allow those consumers to order from those stores. Those retailers are then able to deliver the product to consumers in as little as 20 to 40 minutes.
Rellis says consumers who live in a dry county will get a message saying that the home delivery service is not available in their area. He testified today before the Interim Joint Committee on Licensing and Occupations. Representatives of FanDuel and DraftKings want the Kentucky legislature to pass a bill making it clear that sports wagering is legal in the Commonwealth and establishing consumer protections for those who play. Corey Fox is with FanDuel, and Derek Hine of DraftKings testified today before a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort. They say more than 700,000 Kentuckians currently play fantasy sports, but the industry is not regulated. Hine says it should be.
Right now, we are not required to offer resources for compulsive behavior. We do. Right now, we are not required to segregate funds, player funds, with operating funds. We do. Right now, we are not required to do age verification. We do.
Hine says fantasy sports are now played in 45 states, and legislatures are adopting their own rules for them. State Representative Larry Clark isn't sure he buys the argument that playing fantasy sports is different from gambling. He's a Democrat from Louisville who thinks the burgeoning industry could take money away from legal forms of gambling in Kentucky.
Where we have the lottery here and we have the thoroughbred industry, we have limited number of exposable dollars. I'm concerned that we'll drag money from them. While you don't call it sports betting, I still think it's a form of gambling.
Republican State Senator Chris McDaniel is wondering if the fantasy sports business in Kentucky should be taxed the same as horse racing, even if it isn't considered gambling. Not doing so, he says, might hurt one of the state's signature industries. And finally, this afternoon, an Eastern Kentucky Environmental Agency has hired the former director of the Rowan County Arts Center. Angela Traver is the new program director for Somerset-based Pride. Traver will operate the nonprofit organization's environmental education cleanup and beautification programs.
I'm very excited. I mean, this is a great organization. They do lots of good work and have for the last 20 years. We're getting ready to go into our 20th year anniversary in 2017, and I'm excited about continuing the mission.
Traver's job will work with officials, teachers, and volunteers around Eastern Kentucky to tailor Pride's programs to their communities. Traver resigned as director of the Rowan Arts Center 2 summers ago. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Magoffin, Carter, and Lewis. Tonight, clear, low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly sunny, a 20% chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 90. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of thunderstorms, lows in the upper 60s. Thursday, cooler, partly sunny, with a 20% chance of thunderstorms in the morning, then sunny in the afternoon, highs in the upper 70s. Thursday night, look for cooler conditions, mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s. Around the region, it is 91 degrees in Ashland, 90 degrees in Flemingsburg, Inez, and Lexington. The hot spot is Winchester, where it is 93, and on the campus of Morehead State University, sunshine and 90 degrees. It is 4:46. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, supporters say the federal Clean Energy Incentive Program could help low-income communities the most. Here's the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre.
There's a federal plan to help install more renewable energy in low-income and rural communities in Kentucky and across the country. Public comment on the Clean Energy Incentive Program, or CEIP, closes today. Supporters say the voluntary project will match state dollars for installing wind and solar power in areas that need financial help to make the transition to cleaner energy. Tara Ritter with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy says CEIP could benefit areas that tend to have higher poverty rates and lower average incomes.
Rural communities have the potential to access a lot of these Clean Energy Incentive Program funds that will allow for energy efficiency upgrades, which then directly reduce energy bills and take off some of that burden.
The Environmental Protection Agency will roll the plan out over the next 2 years. Ritter's group is urging the EPA to remove a requirement that states use what are known as emission rate credits. She explains these basically allow states to purchase the right to emit more pollution. Ritter argues that ends up disproportionately affecting lower-income neighborhoods closest to the sources of pollution, including carbon-emitting power plants.
We think that the trading leads to rural and minority communities generally shouldering a lot of the pollution, which increases asthma and water pollution.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news from All Things Considered coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. According to their coach, the Morehead State football team will have a chip on its shoulders when the Eagles visit number 12 James Madison Saturday for their 2016 opener. The Dukes matched MSU 56-7 a year ago, and head coach Rob Tenier says MSU's returning players feel like they have some evening up to do with the Dukes.
Our guys are feeling like that they can compete with anyone, and that's the way it should be. And comes down to, you know, getting in the game situations and being productive. And you got to play good in all three phases. You got to play together. You don't have to play the perfect game, but you just got to match what they do and find a way to make some plays to stay in the game.
James Madison finished last season at 9-3. The Kentucky football team is getting ready for Saturday night season opener against Southern Mississippi at Commonwealth Stadium, with the Golden Eagles hiring former Wildcat offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson in the offseason to take over that same role for them. UK coach Mark Stoops says he and his staff have been studying a lot of game film.
Because, you know, we have to go back and watch our offense, and we had to watch quite a bit of theirs as well, just to study their personnel, study their quarterback, you know, playing, you know, as I mentioned, playing such a quality opponent in the first game, and especially with a quarterback that has such great experience, such a good football player.
Nick Mullins is the quarterback for Southern Miss. He passed for nearly 4,500 yards last season and 38 touchdowns. The Louisville Cardinals kick off the 2016 season this Thursday against Charlotte. Coming off of an 8-5 record last year, head coach Bobby Petrino has high hopes for his group. He says he's hoping to see great energy from his guys in the opener.
You know, what I want to get out of the game is to see us come out and execute, which means do their job, do what they're asked to do, work their technique and their fundamentals, and then play with great effort, play in and play out. And that's what you want to see is, guys, what we call effort habit. We need a team that has an effort habit and plays hard every play.
Kickoff for the Thursday night game is set for 7 o'clock. Charlotte went just 2-10 last year. Some notes from around the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings canceled their practice this afternoon after quarterback Teddy Bridgewater suffered an apparently serious injury in a non-contact drill. The Vikings asked reporters to leave the field area before an ambulance drove onto the field. No further information about the injury has been released. The Cincinnati Bengals have released wide receiver Brandon Tate, and the Chargers and first-round draft pick Joey Bosa have finally agreed to a contract, AP correspondent Philip Gaughan reports.
After a 31-day holdout, the San Diego Chargers and first-round draft pick Joey Bosa have agreed on a 4-year, $26 million contract. Bosa will get most of his guaranteed $17 million signing bonus up front, as the Chargers compromised on cash flow in years 2, 3, and 4 of the agreement, while Bosa compromised on the offset language. Bosa won't play in San Diego's final preseason game Thursday versus the 49ers, but is expected to see action in the Chargers' regular season opener in Kansas City. Philip Gaughan, San Diego.
The Cincinnati Reds are in Los Angeles to take on the Angels in Game 2 of their four-game series. After losing his last two starts, Homer Bailey's elbow will now be reevaluated. Manager Brian Price says it's clear the ace isn't 100%.
Right now he's got some, you know, bicep tenderness. Ball's not coming out. You can tell when he's throwing the last couple times out. It's just not the same. You know, he's pitching at 88 to 91 mostly, trying to create movement, throw more two-seam fastballs, doesn't really have the teeth on the slider. And it's not as competitive as he needs it to be in order to go out there and expect to get big league hitters out with some regularity.
The Reds will go with 2-1 Tim Adelman on the mound tonight. The Angels will counter with 9-11 Jared Weaver. First pitch is set for 10:05. The Lexington Legends are at home to face Augusta at 7:05. 2-9 Gerson Garibo will take the mound for the Legends. With just 6 games left, the Lexington squad has an overall record of 49-83. Morehead State men's basketball coach Sean Woods is like a kid who can't wait for Christmas. He's already excited about the prospect of getting his players on the floor for preseason practice in a few weeks. Woods is especially fired up about seeing what his group of newcomers, which include recent signee Baltimore High School guard Malik Winston, can do.
I really feel great about our freshman class with him adding to Jordan Walker and Jamin Henson and also Alonzo Chapman. I think our freshman class is pretty doggone good.
The Basketball Eagles have begun individual and conditioning drills as they prepare for preseason practice. A member of last year's Kentucky's basketball team is getting a shot at pro hoops. Here's Haley Hansen.
Former University of Kentucky forward Alex Poitras signed a free agent contract with the Indiana Pacers. As the fourth Wildcat from the 2015-16 season to make it to the NBA, Poitras will try to fight his way onto the Pacers roster come training camp next month. Poitras spent 4 years at Kentucky, in which he was a member of two Final Four teams, two Southeastern Conference regular season championships, and two SEC tournament titles. I'm Haley Hansen.
And finally in sports, the Round County boys soccer team has a big game on the road tonight. At 7:30, the 2-1 Vikings visit Montgomery County. Coach Max Hammond says since the Indians are a traditional area power, the contest has all the makings of being an early season measuring stick game for Round.
They can be, sure. You know, I mean, I just want to see them have a good performance. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a win, but, you know, I'd love to see a win coming out of there. I think it's been since 2010 since we beat them, I think. So it's been, you know, 6 or 7 years. It'd be great if we can come out there and get a W on that one.
The Lady Vikings, meanwhile, are at home tonight at 6 to face longtime 16th region rival Russell. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer will host Evansville on Friday, and volleyball welcomes Wright State Tuesday, September the 6th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower, with utilities falling 1%, as investors analyzed strong consumer data while keeping an eye on the Federal Reserve ahead of Friday's jobs report. And economists, polled by Reuters, expect the U.S. economy to have added 180,000 jobs in August. And at the close, the Dow did finish with a modest loss of 48.69 at 18,454.3. The S&P 500 was down 4.26 at 2176.12, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 9.34 at 5222.99. There were just a few losing stocks compared to winners today on the big board, so breadth was pretty flat overall on the New York Stock Exchange today. So the broader market not really showing a whole lot of change. Financials were the only advancer, as the financial sector has now risen 3% in August, leading all 10 S&P sectors. And the Consumer Confidence Index for August came in at 101.1, with economists polled by Reuters seeing the number at 97 coming into the report, so the report a positive surprise. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index rose 5.1% year-over-year, and this was just below expectations. Apple's on Wall Street's radar as the Dow component fell 0.75% after the European Commission ordered Ireland to recover more than $14.5 billion in back taxes from Apple. In oil markets, U.S. crude oil was down 1.34% at $46.35 a barrel, this amid dollar strength. And gold futures for December delivery were $10.60 lower at $1,316.50 an ounce. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers today were Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, and your worst performers were Boeing and Nike. And on the S&P 500, your best performers were Mosaic and United Continental, and the worst performers were Hershey and Newmont Mining. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 20 cents at $117.17. Community Trust was up 6 cents at $36.89. AK Steel down 26 cents at $4.43. Marathon Petroleum up 39 cents at $42.68. AEP down 86 cents at $64.32. And CSX was up 11 cents to finish at $28.49. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And here is a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area. Tonight, clear. Lows in the mid-60s. Wednesday, partly sunny. A 20% chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs around 90. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of thunderstorms. Lows in the upper 60s. Thursday, cooler. Partly sunny with a 20% chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then sunny in the afternoon, highs in the upper 70s. Thursday night, cooler, mostly clear, lows in the upper 50s. Friday, sunny, highs in the upper 70s, and then Friday night. It'll be clear once again with lows in the upper 50s. Around the region, it is 91 in Ashland, 90 degrees in Flemingsburg, Inez, and Lexington, 93 in Winchester and on the campus of Morehead State University, sunshine and 90 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.